Let me start the sermon with a question. Why do we pray? The answer is simple. We pray because Jesus prayed and because he taught us how to pray. All four of the gospel writers often wrote about Jesus praying. The gospel reading this morning is Luke's account of one of these times. After Jesus had finished praying, one of his disciples asked him to teach them how to pray. The disciples also mentioned that John the Baptist had taught his disciples to pray. Jesus teaches them the form of words which we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. The prayer also appears in the Gospel of Matthew, but the version in the Gospel of Luke is one third shorter. New Testament scholars believe that the version of the prayer in Matthew was written later than the version in Luke, and that the Matthew version expanded on the version of the prayer in Luke. The Lord's Prayer that we say later in this service, after the consecration of the elements of bread and wine of Holy Communion, is basically the longer version in Matthew. The Lord's Prayer is a prayer intended to uniquely define Jesus' followers. While it can be prayed privately, it is essentially a corporate prayer. Note that all the pronouns are plural. It is addressed to God the Father. Jews did not normally refer to God as Father. To address God as Father was an address unique to Jesus. God was his Father, and his divine sonship was the source of Jesus' authority. Jesus taught his disciples to also call God Father. As Jesus' followers, who have been adopted into the family of God, we too are privileged to call God Father. As his adopted children, we can approach God, our Father, in bold confidence that he will hear us. As part of the prayer, Jesus teaches his disciples to praise God. In the time when Jesus lived in the ancient Near East, a name was not merely a name. A name was a representation of a person's nature and character. Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, "Hallowed be your name." The term hallowed means to sanctify, to make holy, so the disciples and ourselves are to acknowledge and honour God's holiness. We are to show reverence for God. We are to seek the glory of God and to give God the glory due to his name. Jesus then teaches his disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come." The sanctification or hallowing of the name of God is always connected to God's kingdom. There is no uncertainty as to whether God's kingdom will come. In fact, it is already here, although not fully. God has already made himself known to humanity in the person of Jesus. God's kingdom is already here in the hearts and lives of those who believe and trust in him and who live according to his will. God's kingdom was inaugurated by the first coming of Jesus, and it will be consummated by his second coming. There is nothing that we humans can do to bring about the second coming except to pray that all humanity will acknowledge, confess, and honour God and Jesus as Lord. Luke's account of the Lord's Prayer includes three petitions. The first petition is, "Give us each day our daily bread." Bread means food in general, that is, the daily sustenance that we need for existence, that we need to stay alive. Christians should live in a state of continual dependence on God and not store up more than we need. We must restrain excessive desire and depend every moment on the kindness and providence of God. Remember what happened to the surplus manna that was collected against God's command by the Israelites in the desert after they escaped from Egypt? It rotted and spoiled and had to be thrown away. God will provide all that we need for our daily existence, and we are to be content with what he gives us. He will provide all that is necessary for us to live in this world. However, there is also another meaning to the first petition. Not only does it refer to the necessities of physical life here on earth, it also refers to heavenly food. Jesus tells us that he is the bread of eternal life. Though Jesus has provided for our future life, through Jesus, God has provided for our future life with him. God provides food for our soul as well as for our body. The second petition is, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, or the more familiar wording, as we forgive those who sin against us. We cannot ask for God's forgiveness for ourselves while refusing our forgiveness to others. However, the forgiveness which we ask of God does not depend on the forgiveness which we grant to others. That is to say, God's forgiveness is not conditional on our forgiveness of those who sin against us. But as believers, we are to forgive others, not because we want to earn God's forgiveness, but because God has freely extended his merciful grace to us, even when we were still sinners. In our epistle reading this morning from Paul's letter to the Colossians, we heard these words: when you were dead in your transgressions, he made you alive, having forgiven all your transgressions, having cancelled out the certificate of debt against you, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Jesus' death on the cross paid the debt that we sinners owe to God. So if we are truly God's children who desire to be reconciled to him, we will also want to be reconciled with all those who have wronged us. The third and final petition in the translation of Luke's Gospel, read to us this morning, is, do not subject us to the final test. We are probably more familiar with the wording, save us from the time of trial, or lead us not into temptation. This final petition is an acknowledgement of human weakness and a prayer for faithfulness. We need God's help to be faithful. We need God's help to be rescued from situations that, apart from God's intervention on our behalf, we would not be able to withstand. We need God's help to let us not even enter into such situations. We need God's help to deliver us from the evil one, from Satan. We need God's help to live a holy life worthy of our status as his adopted children. We pray to God our Father because we know we cannot do it on our own. We need to rely on him, not on ourselves. The model Lord's Prayer is followed in Luke's Gospel by a parable. In the area where Jesus lived, hospitality was very important. People often travelled at night to avoid the heat of the day. If a visitor arrived, no matter how late, the householder had to extend hospitality. If a householder receives a surprise visit late at night and he has nothing to feed his visitor, he will do all that he can to be hospitable to his visitor. In Jesus' parable, the householder goes to a friend to ask for food to feed his visitor. But it is midnight, and the friend is already in bed with his door locked, and he cannot get up without disturbing his whole family. However, the householder is insistent. He will not go away, and he will not let his friend go back to sleep. So his friend gets up and does what the householder asks because of his persistence. The point of this parable is similar to the parable of the persistent widow later in Luke's Gospel. In chapter 18, Jesus tells of the widow who persists in begging the judge for justice, and finally the judge grants it to her. Both parables are about persistence. The fact that Jesus made persistent the subject of two different parables indicates how important persistence is in relation to prayer. Prayer is not something you do indifferently. Prayer is not mouthing words without any expectation that God will hear them. It is not a polite request without any hope of fulfillment. The parable teaches us that we should approach God with determination and confidence. Our Old Testament reading this morning from Genesis also gives an example of persistence. Abraham was persistent. He repeatedly pleaded with the Lord in his endeavor to save Sodom and Gomorrah. God first agreed to save the city if there were 50 righteous men to be found. Abraham persisted in asking, and God agreed to lesser number of 45 righteous men. Abraham kept persisting, and God agreed to lesser numbers of 40, then 30, then 20, then finally 10 righteous men. However, despite Abraham's persistence, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, because in the end, there was only one righteous man to be found, Abraham's nephew Lot. Abraham's persistence in prayer did not fail. The condition for saving Sodom and Gomorrah, finding 10 righteous men, was not met. In verses 5 to 8, Jesus emphasizes persistence. But in verses 9 to 13, Jesus emphasizes God's trustworthy character and the effectiveness of prayer. Some people may desist from praying because they may think that God is indifferent to their prayers, that God is not interested in them, not concerned about them. Here Jesus tells his disciples that God is a good father, far better than a human father. If a human father will not give his son a snake instead of a fish, a scorpion instead of an egg, if a human father gives good gifts to his children, how much more will our heavenly Father give us? Jesus assures us, as does our psalm this morning, of God's loving kindness, of his care and his concern for all his children. Jesus' reference to the Holy Spirit in this passage prepares the disciples for the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost after his bodily ascension to heaven. The Holy Spirit is the best good gift that God can give us. The whole of the Lord's Prayer directs us to the fulfillment of God's promises. As God's beloved children, we have the sure and certain assurance of God our Father's promises for our future. We are to pray with faith, expecting and trusting that God will keep his promises. Prayer, unaccompanied by faith, is empty and meaningless. Jesus promises that our prayers will not be fruitless. God will be gracious to us, and he will listen to our requests. We must be persistent. However, if we do not receive the answer we want, it is not that God is not listening. God is eager to give us what he wants to give us. He is always ready to give good gifts to his children. If we do not get exactly what we pray for, it is probably because what we are asking is something that God does not want us to have. There's always a response to our prayer. It just may not be to our liking. No is just a definite answer as yes. We should not be discouraged, but always persistent in prayer. Genuine prayer is never unheard or unheeded by God. It is always answered in the way that God sees as best for his children. We must submit our desires to the will of God and not ask for self-serving, foolish, or improper things. We are to pray regularly, like Jesus, trusting always in God's providential plan for our salvation. Let me pray. God our Father, you are worthy of all praise. Help us to persist in our prayers. Help us to trust and depend on you for all that we need. Help us to live lives worthy of your love for us as your children. Amen.